All right, friends, ATP is back after a two-week hiatus, and today we have a unique episode about overlanding in three-wheeled rickshaws across India. If you're listening on a podcast app, you're going to want to check the show notes on the website this time. My guest on this episode sent me a Dropbox of photos and video clips of their adventure. I've posted a bunch there, as well as the YouTube version, which has a bunch of video. It was a really cool adventure, and the photos are awesome. Also on the website are a couple of new stickers you might like, particularly if you're a fan of the great state of Nevada. Also, if you want an Overland AF sticker, they're almost gone. All right, here's episode 7. For the first time, I tried recording two people on one microphone. Pretty sure this isn't how Gimlet does it. Anyway, enjoy the show.
Truly the nicest, I think it was rated as one of like the nicest hotels in Mumbai. And Bollywood was there, like, with a big fashion week. And we, like, stroll in on our freaking rickshaws, all gross and nasty, right?
And they were literally doing Bollywood fashion week at our hotel. So yeah. We have, like, sequin rhinestone gowns that fill up the entire elevator.
They're, like, touching us in the elevator. Like, don't touch me,
so
I stink.
Sorry.
Yeah.
They were like, turning away, like, their backs to us.
Come all the way off the ground.
Okay, episode 7, All Terrain Podcast, website, at stickers, patches, support, subscribe, etc., etc. I'm Mike, and today we're just going to cut this short because my guests today are fresh off the boat from a unique overlanding adventure through India on a three-wheeled rickshaw. Rob and Shana Gadke are friends. We go way back. Rob and I have worked together over the years, blah, blah, blah. We want to hear about the rickshaws. Rob and Shana, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having us, Mike.
Thank you.
So, just give me a little bit of background. What are we talking about? What is the rickshaw run? Why? Where? Just the basic overview, because we'll get into all the details later.
Yep. So the rickshaw run is an event put on by a company called The Adventurous, and they put on about 8 pretty unique vacation adventure experiences. The rickshaw one is arguably their tamest. So check them out if you want to see some even wilder ones.
It didn't seem that tame to me.
No. They have one that's one of those parachutes that fly. And so you fly across the United States on a parachute with a motor on the back.
Like a fan.
Yeah. Strapped to your back. Yeah.
They have one where you build a boat and go around the coast of Africa. They have one where all kinds, check them out.
Interesting.
But the rickshaw run is, they basically get, on the southern part of India, you start and you drive your rickshaw, up to basically Pakistan.
Really?
Yep. And no support, no anything. They just give you the rickshaw and say, go.
It sounds like a good business.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. No, they give you like your little swag with the air freshener that says, if you run into trouble, don't call us. So, yeah, it is a good setup for them.
And you have to give the rickshaw back, or you stuck with it.
Yeah, it's funny. They actually have a new program. Folks in the UK can actually purchase their rickshaw at the end of it, because they've had so many people want to buy it afterwards. Because you fall in love with this little tiny vehicle over the
intimate
time.
Intimate relationship with it.
Right, right.
And then the other half of the year, we go up from the south north, and then they have another one at the other. No, I don't know when that one is, and they go north to south.
They just have
them return it. Yeah.
So they don't even have to drive the rickshaws. They just have
that
people
is a really
pay
good
to
business.
It's a beautiful model. Yeah.
Except for if something's abandoned, and then you have to tell them where it is. That's like the only time
and
they want
pay
you to
a lot
contact
of money.
Them. Is
really.
Yeah.
So how much ground do you cover, and how long does it take?
So we covered 1,900 miles. And we did that over the span of 14 days.
Wow.
And put in perspective, max speed on those, we had a speed record. So this was optimal conditions and 42.8 miles an hour was our full max speed. But on average, we're going about 25 miles an hour.
And so how, like, I could do the math, but per day, how
it's
far
like
are you
eight
going
hours
per day?
Of driving per day.
And how far? 20 miles or
what
so?
Was our goal?
20, 30 miles.
Oh,
Our goal was 120 miles every day.
Okay. That's not bad. I mean, you could ride a bike that much in less time, probably.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get into the questions. I didn't have any more banter.
let's define rickshaw really quick, though, because we say
well,
that.
Well, that's the first. Well, let's go out of go out of order. So second question is usually what's your vehicle? So let's go first is tell us about the vehicle.
Okay. So it is essentially it's a motorized rickshaw.
Right.
So also called a tuk-tuk. That's what like half people would call it.
An auto rickshaw.
Yeah, because it has a like a 5-horsepower motor in it.
Right.
Maybe a 10-horsepower motor. But it's essentially three wheels. The clutch and the shifter are on the left hand.
Uh-huh.
So you pull the clutch in and then shift up and down with the gear shifter. It has a brake that's just a free brake on the floor.
A pedal brake?
Yeah, mm-hmm. not very useful. A nice back seat. So most of India uses them for taxis.
Right. So the person in the front is sitting like on a, almost like riding a motorcycle or something. You have like a little junky chair or something.
It's like sitting on this chair, just a regular seat, and
it doesn't sound terribly comfortable. No,
not really.
Yeah, the padding's about an inch thick on the seat,
really?
The back is pretty rough.
Yeah,
it's not
some were worse than others.
Yeah.
Because there was a wide array of. A cushion and wear and tear on each vehicle, depending on who had it.
Just
before
random.
You. Yeah.
What's the, do you know like the make and model, like what it's called? You remember what it was called?
We know. No, I don't. It was an auto rickshaw. And there was a very specific brand.
Yeah. Because when we tried to get it fixed several times, they're like, we only work on this other brand.
Yeah.
That is not you.
Oh.
And we're like, oh shoot.
we can post a follow up with the exact model.
So you're looking at a brochure here. What is that?
That's what they give us when we first arrive. So it's all the information we know.
This is produced by The Adventurist?
The Adventurist, yes.
Cool.
It's fairly useless.
Yes.
You know, to give you an example, the introduction says, oh, hello there. How are you? What brings you here? A what? A rickshaw? Oh, I see you're driving it where? So it's mostly just fluff.
Okay. And now, is it like a licensed motor vehicle there, or is it just like a random, like a cart? I mean, does it have a license plate?
It does. It has a license plate. And like Rob said, it's for taxi purposes. So they have to have special permits. That's why you would have trouble with the police, because they'd say, why do you have a white license plate instead of a yellow one? You're supposed to have a yellow one. This is not a regular vehicle. Where's
right.
your permit? And we're like, we don't have one because it's different.
Right.
So, yeah.
How often did that happen?
We got pulled over 5 times.
Yeah.
Any bribing going on there?
We did not. Some people did. Our situations. One, if you bribe, I don't think we would be here right now if we bribed that guy. He was.
Right.
He meant business.
We got pulled over by a colonel, and he full on yelled at us for like 10 minutes. Like full force yell.
Were you doing something that he didn't like, or he just didn't like your cut of your jib or something?
No, we were somewhere we weren't supposed to be.
There's places in the really busy parts of India where rickshaws aren't allowed. And so we were driving on the express freeway to Mumbai.
Yep. That sounds like a bad idea.
Yeah, it was a super bad idea.
Was there like a decision you made and Rob's like, let's just do it. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
It wasn't all me.
The
teammates that we went with, we decided as a group to go.
Right.
The problem was he pulled us over, but he was in a van and like a normal van and like regular street clothes. So I didn't know he was a cop. And so I just kept like, he would push me off to the side of the road and then I'd pass him. And then he'd push me off again. And then he started really yelling. And then Shane is like, you better pull over.
That probably
now.
Didn't go over well.
No.
Huh?
So
yeah,
he was
very upset with us. Yeah. But the thing is, we were getting pulled over by lots of civilians just to take pictures. So it was hard to tell that he wanted
really?
Anything other than a picture at first. But then you could tell he's getting more angry. And we're like, they're not that aggressive here for a picture.
I think a slow day was, we got pulled over 10 times, was a slow day for us.
Really?
Yeah.
For it. So people would just pull you over because they thought, they were like, oh, Americans, that's amusing.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yep. We went to two random people's houses. Like, literally random people. They just pulled us over and said, come have tea.
Mm-hmm.
Took selfies with their
That's
family
cool.
And then went back on the road.
Yeah. You know, I've done a little bit of travel overseas like that. And the instinct is, oh, they're trying to sell something or scam us. But people just,
they do that in other parts of the world. They say, hey, come over and have tea.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Genuinely interested, like no underlying agenda.
Just wanted a conversation. Yeah. Very nice people.
What is this yellow thing you have here?
That's our license.
Looks dubious to me.
Yeah, everybody gets one after you do your test drive. You have to pass your test drive. And that was our saving grace with the police, because all of our like AAA international driver's permits meant nothing to them. All the legitimate things meant nothing. You pull that out, which it's a joke card if you read what it says.
Yeah,
But
hair, maybe. Yeah. Sex, please. Donor. Heart, don't. Yeah, definitely a donor.
So we would hand that to them.
Sin, often.
And they would look at it and say, okay, go.
Yeah, like that truly got you off. And in order to get that, you had to do two laps around a, I don't know, 10-yard little thing, and then you got your license to drive.
Interesting. So, it's about what it's like in Nevada.
Right?
All right, so who's in the crew? Who'd you go with? Obviously, the two of you were in your own rickshaw, or was there somebody else in it with you?
For the most part, it was us in our rickshaw, and then Rob put together the rest of the team.
Yeah, so we had four people from Reno come, and they were in one rickshaw and we were in another. The max you can have is three, but we wanted to have like one to tow and, you know, help be a support vehicle.
Right.
So we had two caravans. That was pretty much the team. And you start at the start, there's 85 teams total.
Oh, wow.
That start the race. But within 4 hours, you never see anybody again.
Really?
Because there's no route, right?
Right.
So it's called the unroute. And it's basically get here. So everybody has different agendas, you know, different times.
And it's not like there's Interstate 80 that goes all the way across, all the way from one to the other. Yeah.
Yep.
So there was six of you total?
There was four of us total.
Four of us total. And four of you in two rickshaws.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So who was it? Friends of yours?
Yeah, coworker, cousin Jonathan, and then
he was your cousin.
Yeah, and then an old buddy, Scott, that went on it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. And you're all still friends, I guess.
Yeah, we made it through.
Yeah, that went really
well. Yeah, it was smooth. There's not a lot of time to argue.
Right.
So
most of the arguing was just about, do we want to go inland? Do we want to stay coastal?
Yeah, it was the route was our biggest debate.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
So we'll just go down to the rest of the questions in order from here. So how do you carry your gear in a rickshaw like that? I mean, usually we're talking about roof racks and drawers and sliders and trucks and stuff, but you don't have too many options when you get somebody who says, here's a rickshaw, go for it.
Yeah, it's kind of a joke because, you know, the rickshaws, it's a three-wheeler, so they're super unstable, like out the gate brand new.
Right.
And then you load two packs on the top because they all had a roof rack.
Mm-hmm.
But you put two packs on it, and then basically if you lean over to, like, take a picture, lean out of the rickshaw, you'll get on two wheels.
Really?
So they're super unstable. But
you posted a lot of pictures like that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It was super fun. added to the experience. So gear-wise, We had two packs, so our backpacks with like a rain gear on top. We bungeed those into the roof rack. Then we had a gear bag. There's like a little bin on the back. So that's what Shayna always used as like our gear bag when we needed stuff. And then we brought like a little glow light, like a little North Face glow lamp to hang in the mornings when we were driving or packing up at night. And then what other gear do we have? Oh, we had a couple of like carabiners with, you know, like maybe a 24 inch rope tied to them so that we could tow people. But it was funny when we got there, side note, the towing, we'd pull those out and people would laugh because how you tow a rickshaw is somebody gets behind you
and
the driver puts their foot on the other one
and
just pushes it with their foot as they drive, like, you know. And so they kind of laughed about
it.
You push a rickshaw. Yeah.
You could even pick up a rickshaw.
Things to know.
Yep.
Things to know. So you were basically just packed like backpack travel.
Exactly.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah. And they actually said, do not put your packs on the top, but everybody did because there's nowhere else to put it until, the other rickshaw, our teammate's rickshaw, the rack actually ended up breaking way through. And so they couldn't put their stuff on top. They had to, we took one and put it at our feet. They had one in the back of theirs. So
not ideal, huh?
No.
Um, So were you carrying, I guess the next question is, where do you sleep? Mm-hmm. So let's move into that one. Are you carrying sleeping bags and tents?
Shane is best equipped to talk about our sleeping experiences.
Okay, let's hear about that.
Am I? Because I am more sensitive than he is, I suppose. We did have our sleeping bags. We did have a tent. We did not use it, uh-huh. although I was very tempted in one of our hotels because we did just hotel hop the whole right. time. We would find a hotel, sleep, wake up, and then we'd map out the city because we'd have our team meetings at night. And we find our city and look up to make sure there's hotels there.
Right.
So, but some of them were... I mean, there's just, it's a different standard of cleanliness, we'll say.
Yeah.
So we actually went with like a plastic sheet for the bed and then sleeping bags. And then,
stay away from the headboards there.
Don't touch the walls.
Yeah.
Because they were all varying colors depending on who had touched it where.
I think camping would have been a cleaner experience.
Well, sure. Cleaner, like germ wise, but not dirt wise.
Correct.
Yeah, because
yes.
we would come in filthy. Mm-hmm. Just, I mean, you're in an open rickshaw in a dusty area.
Right.
And it's humid and gross. So you'd be sticky even if you were just sitting doing nothing.
And is there usually like a shower, bathroom shower at these places? Or
we did
in
have
the
showers.
In the room or?
All of our rooms had showers. Not always heated, not always more than a trickle, but there was always running water.
Mm-hmm. Some without a shower head. But it was decent hotel conditions. Mm-hmm. A couple of people, if you got, stuck and it was nighttime, we have pictures from other people in the race that had, they literally got a room with one chair in the middle of it. No bathrooms, no anything.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
No beds. If you pull off the bed sheets, the mattresses look like a science experiment.
Yeah, I don't
want to
do that.
Yeah.
And I mean, there were places where people would stay with very hospitable people
mm-hmm.
that would just put them up for the night. A couple of people got stuck because of breakdowns, and so they weren't near a hotel.
Right.
And people would just,
and people
take,
would
them
just
in.
Take you in and let you sleep in their house. Huh. No problem. Yeah.
Seems like, I wonder if people here would, I guess people here wouldn't really do that.
No, I don't think
so. I mean, there's always like the stories, breakdown on a country road.
Yeah.
I feel like those people might.
Yeah, those stories typically end in murder.
They
though.
Do, yeah. Yeah, or you can sleep in the hay barn, but don't go near my daughter.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
No, I mean, even when we would go into people's homes for tea, everybody wanted to have chai, so they'd invite you over. They all would say, here's the bathroom, wash up, shower. We're like, no thank you.
Yeah.
But I guess that, I mean, with it being just so hot and humid and dirty, then I guess that's what they do. They just wash up when they're visiting.
And, I think it was the opposite because they had us call their daughters and their sons and say hello to them because they had some random American.
Like on the phone?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I talked,
I talked to a full conversation
to this guy's son that he just called and said, talk to him.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We met a guy's son. He pulled him out of class. He walked us up into the
school.
Right, into an elementary school. They stopped the entire class and pulled this poor little kid out to like shake her hands and say hello.
He was so embarrassed.
It was super funny. Yeah.
It was adorable.
Pretty weird.
Yeah.
So what is the, what's the chai like? What's the tea like there? How does that come?
Very good. Very creamy. Not as sweet as here.
Yeah, definitely not as sweet.
Is it like, it's like black tea with milk?
And spices.
And spices.
Yeah, it's like the masala chai.
But not as sweet.
But not as sweet.
It actually sounds good.
It's
like
really good.
Yeah.
Everything, even the coffee, like the lattes, I feel like were creamier. And maybe they just are a straight whole
They probably
milk.
Don't have skim
yeah.
milk.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure it's whole.
That's super nice.
But it was very good.
Some form of milk.
Is it like, is it enough different that now you're like, oh, I want some of that tea?
Yeah, I had a chai tea here the other day. I was like, oh, that was disappointing.
Not quite.
It was like 10 times larger because they serve everything in like little cups.
Right.
Little glass cups so you burn your fingers.
Yep.
And then you come, it's a good size. And it's good because otherwise you'd be there all day having chai with everybody. You wouldn't make any
sit
headway.
There drink a 12-ounce chai.
Yeah.
So tell me about the food. I guess probably, what you eat between stops and what was the food situation like there?
Well, we had our morning snacks because we would head out early. And I feel like, with our experience, they start late and they stay open. Like they start breakfasts late. They start dinners. They didn't even open kitchens until like 7 o'clock. So we would get on the road, and we had found stores along the way. So we had our crackers, Snicker bars for Rob and Jonathan.
And nothing wrong with a Snickers bar.
Oh, man.
Not the healthiest of breakfasts for the most part. And then we'd stop for a coffee or chai later. But that, it was a snacking breakfast.
Mm-hmm. And then the abundance of grease in the meals was, I thought we were going to go and like have all these like, I don't know, light meals, right? That's kind of like Indian food seems light, but it was like poured on gravy with extra oil,
really?
Pretty much for lunch and dinner.
Yeah. Huh. Well, and part of that is we were staying away from the raw vegetables because of the water contamination issue. So we couldn't order salad. They would bring, before every meal, they would bring out raw onions and cucumber slices, and that's what they just snacked on.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
But we couldn't touch them, so we wouldn't get any. We really didn't eat very much vegetables unless it was cooked into the food. So everything was gravy, like high fat, high calorie.
The assumption is that all these sort of old countries like India and Japan and China have so much better healthy. Cuisine, but it doesn't seem like it's the case all the time.
I think that some of that's debatable though, because they're not eating as much processed food. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's high fat, it's high grease, it's heavy carb load, but it's all freshly prepared by them.
Yeah.
Or and they're more active.
Yeah.
So that's not to say their diets are better, but they're better equipped to eat those diets because they're walking miles and miles and miles every day.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think your next question about where you poop goes very hand in hand with where you eat.
Well, before we get into that, let's make sure we've exhausted the food. The poop one, it's everybody's favorite question, I think. So food. So was any like street food, or was there anything, you know, are they as big into Coca-Cola and Pepsi there as other places, and it's always probably warm?
Yeah, you know, there wasn't a lot of soft drinks. I mean, they always had like a thing, but none of the locals were, I mean, every once in a while you'd see like, you know, if it was a restaurant with seven people in it, maybe one would have a soda.
Huh.
So I don't think that was very, I don't think I saw that often. Mm-hmm. But the food, it's called a hotel.
Yeah,
so you always go to a hotel.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And
even if there's no place to sleep?
Correct. Yeah, it's a hotel. That's a restaurant.
Okay.
And so when we would drive, you know, like Shana said, we'd slam a grocery store bought something in the morning. And then on the side of the road, I'd say every 10 miles in most places, every 10 miles was a hotel. Right. And it was just a hotel and a hotel and a hotel. And they'd have these big elaborate menus, like, you know, all these photos of all these types of dishes that they have. And you walk in and you'd point at something and they're like, no. And it was like one thing that they made.
Oh.
But like they showed all these beautiful like meals.
Maybe it's just day by day.
Yeah, I think
they
so.
They give you a whole menu and they're like, you can order from this little.
Yeah, they're like,
right,
you can have that or that. And so it's like, OK. But we tried. There were some sketchy ones. We had sketchy pills like to pop before you eat the meals.
Oh, so really? What's that?
It's basically, I think, a milk, like a lactose.
It's supposed to neutralize any bacteria that might be in the food, I guess.
So we popped those because every place you went to, the kitchen was, you know, right next to the hole for the bathroom, and then they would cook. It was. You didn't want to look in the kitchen.
Right.
Well, and we saw how they would clean the glasses for chai in between people drinking it. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was delicious, though. I will say the food
was super good. It really was
very
heavy.
Any, last food question, water. Did you have to, you're buying bottled water, I imagine? Mm-hmm. Any filtration that you had to use?
We all had Life straws. Yeah, Shana had like a water bottle that had a Life straw in it.
It was like a Camelback style.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. And so she used that. Pretty much the whole time.
Even with my filtered water.
Yeah, but I just would grab bottled water.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's pretty widely available.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
There's, you can't stop at a store without them, but I guess it's pretty, you know, you have to check the seal and all that.
Yeah, because several times.
Really?
Yeah, he would order a water from a restaurant, a mineral water is what you'd have to order, and it would come, and I'm like, that seal's broken, don't drink it. So.
They say on the bottles, they say crush after use. Yeah. Because they don't want people doing that.
Yeah. That'd be bad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Any distress? Any gastrointestinal distress?
Lots. All of us at the end.
I was the last.
Yeah, Shana was the last survivor.
I held out till the very end.
She still didn't make it, though.
I thought I was going to. It was the last 2 days.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
But they all got sick, and maybe even a couple times in that short last window, because you guys got sick and then again at the end.
It's just impossible to
get
past it.
Yeah, you can't do it. Yeah, it's impossible.
All right, so tell us about pooping in India on a rickshaw.
Yeah.
Just the general bathroom situation, you know.
You would have 50% of the time there'd be an Indian toilet, which is...
Just the hole.
50%?
Just the hole. Yeah.
I would say more than that.
More?
Yeah.
Okay. So 70% of the time, it'd be a hole.
Right. And is it just a hole or like some places...
It's got some pedestals. Yeah, you got
They'll have like the porcelain with the feet.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you totally get that. No toilet paper anywhere.
Right.
So you get this sweet little bucket that everybody uses at the gas station to, you know, dip your water in and then pour on your ass.
Yeah. F that.
Yeah, exactly.
Nope.
We had toilet paper.
I brought toilet paper. I got laughed at for it, but I brought toilet paper.
I did the same in Morocco.
Oh, yeah. It's not good.
Yeah, none of us really touched the buckets.
Yeah, but they were on the same par as, you know, the hotels. So the bathrooms, you know, you're like, okay, I can, you know, everybody's been in a gas station bathroom and it's not good. But these were like a step above, because you'd also get, you know, the beehive and the 14 lizards and some pretty sweet spiders in there as well while you're doing it.
Oh, there was one that was swarming. The men's bathroom was swarming with ants on the floor. Oh, like, yeah. You couldn't step in there without killing like 1,000 ants.
Yeah.
I did not have to go on that one. Mm-hmm. And I mean, most of our bathroom stops were at gas stations too.
Yep.
Unless you were a guy and then you could pee wherever you wanted.
Oh, the world pees in India outside.
Oh, really?
So, and the world shits outside too. So I'm sorry. Poops outside too. The they essentially, the sewage system is open. So they don't have any enclosed sewage.
Oh, that's not
good. Right? So even in the nice places, like there's sewage down the street, like in old
oh,
you know,
really?
like
in New York, like old time New York City.
Exactly. Like right, you carve the ditch and then it goes.
Wow.
The fancier places had big square blocks to cover them, but there was still a gap in between.
Wow.
And that's where the sewage was. So you'd drive, it was super funny. We're driving, or we're in the train at the end of the trip, and you look over and all you see are butts.
Yeah.
Right? Like just butts, because people are squatting and pooping, like right there.
Wow.
And that was the whole way. So you never were in the rickshaw and you didn't see somebody peeing on the side of the road or pooping on the side of the road.
Wow.
Yeah. People just popping out of the bush, right? Just popping out of the bush.
That's a really bad thing.
Oh, it was quite foul.
Wow.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's probably something you want to forget, right?
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about recovery gear. Generally, we're talking about winches and toe straps and stuff like that. But what did you take to help recover or repair a rickshaw?
So we had grips of zip ties, because that was really important. Lots of tape, tons of Gorilla Tape. The Gorilla Tape actually was super good and super helpful.
You brought that with you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then what's that strong as steel? What's that stuff? Have you ever seen those commercials? Fix
like
it?
Super glue, like, or something?
No, it's like it's rad, dude.
Oh.
They're like
oh yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, the stuff that you wrap around.
Yeah. And then it like quickly goes. So we had a couple of variations of that. And then we had the toe straps, which, you know, again, we got laughed at. Some paracord.
I'm gonna pause here and reset the video camera.
Okay.
Yeah, my timer's going off.
Still going. 29 minutes. It stopped at 29:29 or 29.
All right. Back. So, recovery gear.
I think the other thing that we did right away, you know, one of the helpful things that the company that puts on did was they put together like just a little one day, or it was like an hour long. Hey, here are like the 10 things that typically break on the rickshaw.
Right.
So they put that on. So everybody kind of mad dashed to get some supplies. So then we brought like a spare kind of computer chip, because I guess those go bad all the time.
It has a computers.
It's like a circuit.
Some
a
little
circuit.
Micro a circuit. Little controller. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think it controls the lights, but and the spark plug. So then we got some spark plugs, and
they wanted us to get air filters. And,
yeah, just a couple of like typical replacement pieces. The carbs are really crappy, so those always bug up. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing that saved us during the trip was when. Because you have to pre-mix. It's a mixed gas, right?
Oh, so like
it's
two-stroke?
Two-stroke gas, yeah. So you mix it at the gas station several times. We'd be pouring this in, and we just bought like a little, like a strainer for at a kitchen store. And so we'd pour the gas in through the strainer into the funnel, into the gas tank. And that saved us a ton, because every once in a while you'd look in that strainer and it would have like two flies.
A couple frogs.
Oh, just nasty stuff in it, dude. It was so
fabric,
gross.
Like,
yeah.
I'm like, where are you
yeah,
getting
random
your
things
gas?
That would come out of that gas tank.
Yeah. And come to find, though, like, we took it for granted until we met a team that said that they had to replace their.
Yeah, they had to swap their fuel filter like five times.
Really?
Yeah, they just die on the side of the road.
Because they didn't do the strainer.
Filter. Yep. Yeah. So that was super helpful. I don't think there was any other kind of recovery gear.
Well, you said you had the rope, the tow rope.
Yeah.
Even though you don't really need that.
Yeah, we ended up using it once when our other team crashed and they bent their whole front end in.
Yeah.
So I hooked it up to ours and we just like rev the engine and then like
tried to
yank
it
back
out.
Did that work?
No. It bent it a little bit. He drove it to the finish line. So
yes, it worked.
Maybe it helped. Yeah.
Did you get fined for that at the end? Or
I'm sure. Yeah.
They're still working out all the deposit.
Yeah, you basically give them money to just buy a brand new rickshaw, and then when you return it, then they give it back to you.
Okay.
After they inspect it.
Right.
So.
But our teammates was in the worst condition.
Really?
Out of anyone's.
Yeah, the windshield was busted because when they hit that pothole, he just kept going.
Oh,
the rickshaw
no.
just stopped in its tracks.
Yeah, Jonathan put his head through the windshield.
That's
literally. Well, yeah.
And the streets are just pothole after pothole,
right.
Like the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, your fans, you know, they talk about, you know, overlanding, but, you know, driving an Indian road is the equivalent of, you know, rock crawling.
Right. Yeah, it's no joke, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of crazy. And we had done a really good job, and this was like the second to last day of driving. So we could have made it to the finish that day, but we decided to do it in two. And so the road was flooded, and so he couldn't even see that pothole. And so we're just bombing through water, and we just keep going, and he just stops.
Oh.
So.
Bummer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was our worst, probably, wreck. Well.
Yeah. I don't think there was any other gear that we had, though. Some people pimped out their rickshaw. So some people, this guy had a fin welded on. Like a racing fin on the back.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of people did.
You mean a spoiler?
Yeah, like a full on. It was freaking rad, dude. Some other people did like the you know, back when it was cool in like the 80s to have the like gold colored windshield wipers.
I don't remember when that was cool.
A triple
yeah, yeah.
Thing or whatever. Yep. Like, so a couple people got those.
I remember when white was cool, like white.
Yeah.
White ones. Turbo.
Exactly.
Everything said turbo back in the 80s. Like,
well,
a pair of glasses, it'd say turbo.
For sure.
What?
Well, they're caught up to that now
in
India. So now that's like cool to pimp out your rickshaw.
Cool.
Well, with the adventurous people.
No, you guys didn't have any rollovers?
We did.
Yeah, we had a rollover.
Not
us. Not
us. Our teammates. They had a rollover into a bus stop. Two people were sitting there and they got up really fast, but
wow.
Yeah, the roads, you know, to say that they're crappy is like a super understatement, because there are potholes and you call them like death holes. 'Cause there'd be like I don't know, 2 feet deep, maybe foot and a half deep potholes. And there'd be in a 100-yard stretch, I'd say there'd probably be at a minimum two Mm-hmm. And at a maximum 100 on any road that you
And did you have to drive around them, or did you have to plow through them?
Oh, yeah, you have to drive around. If you hit those in the rickshaw, you were flipping over.
And what are people driving generally there? Are they driving the four-door Mercedes diesel cars?
No, it's basically if you took the minivan population here and then you shrunk it like in half. So they were full minivans, but they were just miniaturized.
Right, those little Cushman vans that like groundskeepers will drive.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. I mean, they're a little There's bit a bigger than a golf those. Cart, but you know, 18 people are in it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But what was funny is the big rigs, hundreds, thousands of big rigs on the road, just transporting goods. So that was huge. And then buses, mega buses. Like mm-hmm. double decker buses just yeah. smashing
and they
on the
owned
roads.
The road.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they were scary beasts.
The buses, sure. I've noticed the buses in places like that, like cars are kind of not very common. Minivans, SUVs, not very common. The buses are like legit, really nice, big buses.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And they're
brand
all
new.
Decorated and beautiful.
Yeah,
and
decked
out.
Yeah.
Like, and I mean, there were a lot of regular cars. They weren't all tiny.
Oh, for sure.
Minivans.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were, I was commenting, like, they all look for how crazy they drive there. They're all, like, in good condition, but
really?
It must be because they have to trade them out when they get
yeah.
cleaned up too much. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, most of them had a ding or two on
oh,
them,
yeah.
even
Every
nice
bus,
ones.
Any big car had a full side smashed. Like,
really?
Full smash on it. Yeah.
It'd be hard to, I mean, you know, the traffic, you know, traffic is. You think people think go to places like, oh man, the traffic in Reno is crazy. The drivers don't know what the hell they're doing. Nobody obeys the laws, mm-hmm. and it's a different story when you're a place like India.
Oh, there's no rules of the road. The rule of the road is if you have more stones than the person coming at you, you win.
Right.
Like truly,
yeah.
there
it's
was
a big game of chicken
every day. Yep.
I thought that we would catch on more to the rules that we just weren't seeing in the beginning.
Right.
And not so much. I mean they. I mean, we ended up going down one way several times. We had no clue they were one way. But it was very clear. Like, they're all, you're going the wrong way. Like, they're telling us to turn around. So there are rules, and we just don't know what
it's
they
just
are.
Not obvious, yeah.
It's like they abide by, like, these, like, seven rules of the road when there's, like, 500 rules that yeah. are actually, you know, printed on the road.
Right.
So.
Like, yeah. Which is funny because then you'd see people going down the wrong direction on a divided highway or something. And that's okay. But we can't go down the wrong way on a one-way.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, well, we don't know when we can and can't follow the rules. But
right. Did you see any kind of, like, other accidents, you know, like bad crashes and injuries type things? Or did it seem pretty safe?
Safe?
Yeah. I think the saving grace is the speed at which you can go mm-hmm. in a potholed road, right? So
right.
everybody had to go kind of slow, but we saw some pretty gnarly accidents. I'd say we saw two in our 14 days, and one of them was, I bet somebody died in one of them.
Was that the one with the rickshaw? Another rickshaw?
Yeah, it was like a rickshaw truck. Mm-hmm. And... So we didn't see a ton of accident, hundreds of fender benders. Like,
I was surprised.
At any moment, yeah. You made a comment one time.
I was like, man, maybe they just are more aware of their surroundings. And they're like, no, they're fatality rate.
But if you Google like India's accident rate, it's like one of the highest in the world.
Really?
Yeah.
But you don't see it as much, I guess.
Yeah.
At least we didn't. Mm. It wasn't. It was scary to drive, but I did not see a lot of accidents. Mm-hmm.
So generally, overlanders will have some kind of an onboard shower. Where's that? Oh, there it is. Yeah.
Yep.
So on like an onboard shower in your car, you can take a shower or you can jump in a lake. How you mentioned that there was a trickle of a shower in your hotel. Was there any natural bathing opportunities, lakes, rivers? Probably wouldn't want to do that.
You don't want to do that. I mean, even the locals didn't go in the ocean or anything.
Oh, yeah.
Because we asked, can you swim in here? And they're like, no,
yeah.
you cannot swim in here.
We took a side excursion inland pretty far, and we drove up really high for India. Was like, I think we got to like 3,500 feet to like this waterfall. And we saw people bathing in mm-hmm. the waterfalls.
Yeah.
I might have done that. But even the pools at a nice place were green. So, like, any water source was contaminated.
There was
guaranteed.
No chlorine. It was, yeah, it was, like, as hot as the air, which was...
Oh, yeah. The water was, I mean, it's just prime conditions for nastiness.
Right.
So there's no opportunity. You would feel dirtier going in a lake than just staying sweaty.
Mm-hmm.
I did bring, like, some of those, like, wipes and...
Yeah, we had a couple of those.
And things like that, which were really nice for our long flight home. That was, like, mainly the only time we used those, other than getting gas off our hands.
Yeah, so. Getting gas off your hands would be nice.
Yep.
What did you guys use for communication? I think you pretty much had connection the whole time, right? Internet, like phone?
Yeah, he did. I did not get an international plan. And you tried not to use it.
Yeah, I didn't want to. Like, we tried not to use the phones. But car to car... We brought walkie talkies and that was huge.
The little FRS radios.
Yeah, exactly.
Motorola's.
We brought a set of those and they were a lifesaver.
How did you charge them up?
Every night at so we had solar packs and we never used them. We bought them specifically to charge up the radios. But every night, you know, at a hotel, there's power everywhere. You couldn't go anywhere without power.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah, power everywhere.
Interesting.
Yeah, that was good. But I mean. We'd lose each other because they'd pass a truck and we'd get stuck. And we're like, just so you know, we're not behind you.
The cities, I mean, it's nearly impossible to stay together because, you know, there's 1.5 million people in one of their small towns.
Right.
And, you know, so that every one of them is driving a motorcycle, a rickshaw, or a car. So the roads were just packed and we'd get pushed all over.
And so then I guess you'd go out of range on the walkie talkies and so were you like careful to coordinate when you could tell that was going to happen?
Or? Yeah, if we got lost, you'd just buzz them. And they had a decent range because there's not a lot of interference.
I think the only time that we couldn't get them was we went, it was really far. We were stretching it to the limit.
It was like 5 miles.
But driving, we never lost range.
Yeah.
So we were good on that.
Yeah, they were pretty good.
Yeah, I've used them. We use them quite frequently. And my son talks to his cousin in the neighborhood over the walkie-talkie. So, what about navigation? What'd you use to find your way?
We used something called Scott. He was our navigator.
Yeah,
Google Maps. Like
really?
Yeah, we just downloaded offline Google Maps, and then would zoom in and use those
Just on a phone.
Yeah.
So that was that was when we were actually physically en route because we'd have our nightly meeting, decide where we're going to go, and we'd actually look at the map.
Yeah, we had a physical map every night.
We would draw what we did that day and then decide what we're going to do the next day because you don't know exactly what route you're going to. You're like, this is our endpoint. We're going to try to get here.
Right.
And then we'd try to.
Mm-hmm. Would you download the sections at that time?
Yeah, exactly.
Like from a Wi-Fi cafe or something, or just over the phone?
Just over the network, yeah. The cell coverage was kind of scary good.
Yeah.
Almost the entire time.
Really?
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Is it 3G there, LS, whatever the numbers are?
No, yeah. We had 3G, again, pretty much the whole time.
Really?
And LTE in the big cities. Even in, like, the middle of nowhere, you'd have pretty good service.
Huh.
Yeah.
There are some people that just... straight up map, paper mapped it. Like
right.
Yeah. The problem is, you know, most of the roads, you don't know. So, you know, Google will tell you one, but we'll go down a route and it's like, well, that's a dirt road,
or it says you're in the middle of nothing. Like it doesn't have all the roads. So it was a combination of just using your eyes and common sense. Like we want to go this way. We had the compass, like, okay, we just want to keep going north. And so, I mean, yeah, we had a day where we didn't really look at the map. We just went north and looked at the road.
Yeah, that was because that was our point of contention was like, hey, let's stop using the freaking Google Maps.
Just follow a heading.
So one day, it was like, all right, let's do that.
Lots of turnarounds.
But it was like super hard. Yeah.
Oh, dead end.
Yeah.
Because roads, I mean, it's not like trying to get around Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
No.
You know? No, it doesn't make sense.
Go to the beach, and it's like, wow, we just drove 20 minutes and ended up on a beach. Right.
And
with
now
no road.
We can't drive because we're stuck on the beach. Yeah. And so we'd have to push back out.
Did you track where you had been with GPS too? So you like could tell where you had been?
Yeah, it was. We had an old four track. Okay. And so we just put it on and started going. And then we decided that we were going to, you know, up the fidelity of it so it would capture, you know, a little more data. And that was probably 3 days in. And whatever setting Jonathan changed on there, we never recorded it. We made sure it had fresh batteries every day.
Right.
And everything was good.
It never worked.
When we got home, yeah, there's no data.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, it sucked.
Bummer.
Yeah.
Good job, Jonathan.
Yeah, that was a bummer.
So what non-driving activities did you guys encounter on this trip?
Non-driving activities?
Was there like hiking, shopping, skiing?
No skiing. We did the hiking and the shopping. We found this beautiful like cluster of temples. Just like how many would you say were in there? Like
I bet there's 20.
And they were just within each other. It was just like a labyrinth of temples, and it was beautiful. But you had to hike up like steep stairs for what, 3 miles?
4,000 steps.
Whoa, that sounds cool.
4,000 like rock steps. And I think it was like 3 miles up, and it was like 3,000 feet.
In dead heat.
Oh, something. It was brutal.
And it's supposed to take like what?
2 hours. Yeah. We had 45 minutes to get up there.
Cause they were closing.
Oh no.
So we like hoofed it. And we were a disgusting mess, but it was worth every freaking effort that it took. It was one of the most like detailed, like you look at kind of, Indian buildings and those temples, right? And they're pretty intricate. This like was over the top. It was crazy.
Gorgeous.
I don't even know how they did most of it. I mean, just the finest details for you know, huge stretches.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Well, and they carry everything on their heads, all their heavy loads on their heads. So as we're going up, there are these two ladies, and not they're like not even perfectly matched in height, with this huge marble slab, which is what they're using to tile the floors up there.
Wow.
On their heads as they walk up these steps. And we're like, oh my goodness, you guys are hardcore.
It was gnarly. I bet it was 150-pound slab.
Wow.
That they just had slapped on their head. And we pass them, and they're like, you want to take a photo?
Yeah. Everybody
yeah.
Want to take a photo?
Okay.
Sure.
And boy, and
I feel like a pansy trying to hike with a 30-pound kid on my shoulders.
Exactly.
My neck gets tired.
No, they're pretty impressive. Their balance is amazing. And just, I mean, their back strength must be
no
other.
So that was cool. We did a couple of waterfalls. It was kind of our ongoing joke that we were just chasing waterfalls. so that was really cool. We went to one that was like huge, a massive, the big tourist trap. We did a couple waterfall excursions, couple hiking excursions. But for the most part, we freaking had to drive. We wake up at
we
6.
Had our miles that we had to meet every day.
You know, 120 miles takes you 10 hours in a rickshaw.
Ouch.
Yeah, we did spend 2 days in Mumbai just because it was a huge city. Mm-hmm. And one of our teammates really was into big cities. And so we did 2 days there. And that was cool.
Yeah, it was probably the most ridiculous experience in the trip. Yeah. We pull in, you know, they don't want rickshaws there. one of our friends had like all these points because he travels for work. And so like the point system for, St. Regis, it's like what you would get here for, you know, like a normal room gets you like a palace there.
Well, yeah.
So, so he had these points and he was like an Indian god there, with his points. And so he booked us the room and like truly the nicest, I think it was rated as one of like the nicest hotels in, Mumbai. And, Bollywood was there like with a big fashion week and we like stroll in on our freaking rickshaws, all gross and nasty, right?
And they were literally doing Bollywood Fashion Week at our hotel.
So yeah, had,
like sequin rhinestone gowns that fill up the entire.
They're like
elevator,
touching us in the elevator.
And we're all like,
don't
we're
touch me,
so
I stink.
Sorry.
Yeah,
that's they were like, turning away, like their backs to us. Yeah.
So they like, you know, they're like, okay, well, you know, and you have to valet your car. So we're like, do you guys know how to like drive one of these rickshaws? So anyhow, when we went to leave. They didn't know how to drive them, so they broke our starter. Like they broke it because it was a hand pull every
a pull start,
and so they broke that. So I had to like in a fancy hotel like rig up the freaking thing, and then we had to push start it and drive through the busiest city in India with no starter.
Oh, nice.
So that was pretty cool.
And were you on a schedule? I mean, you said it took you 14 days. Were you like, we got to be done by this time?
Mm-hmm. You have 2 days to finish. So the party, the like finish party was 13 days in and 14 days in.
Okay.
So.
And they were only going to be doing check-ins for finish during these hours of the day. So that's part of the reason why we decided to take the second day to finish. But then we had our accident, so we needed that second day to finish. But it was, you could finish in 13 days. Or you could finish in 14 days, and they would be there both days.
Right.
And they hang out for like 5 days after for stragglers, but.
And is it a race? What do you get if you win?
You don't.
No, you pretty much get shunned if you win, because
really?
Then you just like drove really fast.
For no point, for no reason.
Exactly.
Yeah, there actually was a team that finished in, I think, 6 days, and there's a thread.
They have a WhatsApp, for all the competitors. They're competitors.
And they gave them hard time.
They got reamed for it, for sure.
they stood their ground.
Yeah, it was
like,
funny.
Hey, man, this is how we
it's
did
a record
it.
Yeah, for sure.
So that
record.
Was their goal. Everybody else had different goals,
but the real winner was whoever got photo of the day the most amount of times.
Yeah.
Oh, so what
won
you,
the race
you post
yeah, you share in that WhatsApp, you post like your favorite photos or whatever.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And apparently it downloads it to your phone, like saves it to your phone photo album, because I was scrolling through Rob's phone because I didn't have service, and I saw all these pictures of random people that I didn't know.
That's funny.
Like, what is
we
this?
Saved them all.
So you guys, well, first of all, I asked you about non-driving activities. Nobody mentioned the backflips. Tell us about the backflips.
That's just part of our normal life is Rob backflipping. So I didn't even think of it.
Yeah, I got a couple of cool ones. I did one at the temple place.
Yeah,
that was pretty rad.
That one.
Did one at the beach.
Couple off the rickshaws.
Yeah.
Couple, for so they could see the freak show. For audiences.
This is for the audience. This is the thing that Rob has done for many years, including one of my favorites was. We did that presentation in Vegas.
IAPA.
And it was either before or after he did a backflip off the stage, and it wasn't a suit, but it was nice clothes and a bunch of stodgy conference goers. That was pretty amusing. So there's on his Instagram, which I'll post the Instagram, there's videos of that. I also saw you've got a nice gimbal with a GoPro, but I haven't seen what video of that you logged in your buried under GoPro video.
It's like 70 hours of
so
GoPro footage.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. So I plan to have we're gonna make a dent this weekend on the video.
Okay.
But I bet in another 2 weeks I'll have a full blown video of it.
Okay.
70 hours down to freaking 4 minutes is like
and even
rough
our,
task.
Even our photos sorting just through the still shots is a feat of its own. So
yeah.
But I can't imagine. He has to do the video stuff, not me.
But it's rad, right? So we had like GoPro on the front, and that gimbal mm-hmm. was super awesome. And so we have, countless near-death, experiences with cars passing or, something flying by.
he almost got taken out by what was it? The bird.
Oh man, yeah. So I'm like, okay, it's the last day, I'm gonna get some sweet shots. So I'm like laying down on the back of the rickshaw with the camera out, taking pictures of Shayna driving the other one, and this freaking peacock.
Huge peacock
jumps out in front of the busted rickshaw. So Jonathan can't even like swerve because it's barely driving forward.
Like he hit the end of the tail.
Oh
feathers.
Yeah, the tail like hit us and then like hit me. Oh, it was wild. So I got some of that. There should be some pretty sweet
That's
shots.
That's awesome. Well, I can't wait to see that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I was following the adventure on the Facebook and Instagram. It was really cool to hear the story. Thanks for coming in. Check the show notes on the website for images and videos. Like I say, if you can get me some of those images and videos, I'll put it up there.
Yep.
They're all really good. My guests today, Shayna Gadke, Rob Gadke. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Thank you,
Mike.
Much.
Awesome. So if you have any questions or comments for me or my guests, please post a comment on the show notes on our website, allterrainpodcast.com, where you'll find any links mentioned in the show, as well as videos, trip reports, and more. You can also find us on Instagram at allterrainpodcast, and Rob is what's your Instagram?
Rob Gadke.
Rob Gadke, at Rob Gadke. I lost my place. I think that's it. No, I have more. All Terrain Podcast was created by me, Mike Henderson. Special thanks to Chris Webster of the Archaeology Podcast Network and Colin Loretz of the Overwatch Hero Podcast. All Terrain Podcast is recorded right here at the Reno Collective, a co-working community in Reno, Nevada. Learn more about that at renocollective.com. And we're out.